ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. No partial government shutdown Friday night. The House and Senate say they'll vote on and pass another temporary spending bill.
It'll be the fourth congressional can kick down the road, but this time the House and Senate have just 8 days to make the permanent spending deal. Money for half the government runs out March 8th, the rest on March 22nd, and March 8th date could be a problem, as it is the day after President Biden set to give his State of the Union address. Congressional leaders insist they have a deal on six of the spending bills, now due in a week.
ABC's Andy Field. The Supreme Court to decide Donald Trump's claim he can't be prosecuted for trying to overthrow his 2020 election loss. An appellate court ruled he can. The Supreme Court will have the final say. Former U.S. Marine officer Michael Joseph Foy sentenced to 40 months in federal prison for hitting police officers with a hockey stick during the insurrection and throwing a metal pole at a line of officers. This is ABC News. Self-deprecating comedian Richard Lewis shook off his mortal coil.
These days, audiences probably knew Richard Lewis best as one of Larry David's neurotic friends on Curb Your Enthusiasm. This scene aired a little over a week ago.
I'm leaving you in my will. I'm tweaking it, and you're in it.
No, don't do that.
It's done. You're
but long before he battled it out with David, Richard Lewis was honing his neuroses-fueled brand of comedy on stage in the 70s, in clubs and on The Tonight Show, and by the 80s in stand-up specials on Showtime and HBO. His act often about therapy and addiction. There were movies, including Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and sitcoms. Lewis revealed a Parkinson's diagnosis last year, and we're told he died of a heart attack. Richard Lewis was 76. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
The mother of all phishing attempts? Dubuque County, Iowa, trying to track down $500,000 an employee transferred in response to a bogus email that appeared to be from the city of Dyersville, Iowa. They found out about it when the real Dyersville asked about it. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Start the new year off with a bang of big savings during the Omaha Steaks end-of-season event. You can stock up on all your favorites and get 50% off site-wide. That's 50% off perfectly aged tender steaks, juicy burgers, decadent desserts, and even classic comfort meals. Go to omahasteaks.com, and when you use code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code QUALITY at checkout for an extra $30 off your order. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Elijah View's family asked for a safe return home during a second Two Rivers Police Department press conference Tuesday evening.
Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Minard updated everyone, saying that all leads and tips in Elijah's case are being followed, but didn't give any specific details about the investigation. Elijah's aunt and grandmother said that their hearts are heavy, and they just want him to return home safe.
I want my grandson to be home, raise my family. So I want everybody to continue. Don't stop. Just searching for my baby Elijah. We want him to be safe.
Vu has been missing for a week after last being seen in an apartment complex in Two Rivers. A $15,000 reward has been announced by the FBI for any information regarding Elijah's disappearance. Stephen Devine, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Following a tragedy, new protocols are part of contracts between the city of Milwaukee and private ambulance providers.
On Tuesday, all 15 members of the Common Council approved new contracts with Beth Universal. Now, first responders must adhere to new protocols, requiring paramedics responding to 911 calls get out of their vehicles and look for a patient. This was not previously mandatory when a 49-year-old woman died last month. Investigators say Jolene Waldreff fell at a bus stop, and although she called 911, an ambulance crew drove past her while she was on the ground, but they didn't see her. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The person who died in the Dane County Jail last week was a suspect in two bank robberies. Dane County Medical Examiner's Office identified the woman as 38-year-old Lisa Harding from Madison. Police arrested Harding last week after an attempted bank robbery in Madison and an actual bank robbery in Fitchburg.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM Tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clear skies to take us through the overnight. Light and variable winds developing. Lows by morning will be right above the 10-degree mark. On Thursday, we'll see sunny skies, breezy south winds up around 35, lower 50s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 11 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Podcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we sailed the seas of soy with a cast of several soy seers. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, buddy. Welcome to Houston. How's things going?
Oh, really, really great. Yeah.
Good. Things are moving along very nicely down here at Houston at the Commodity Classic as well. Big thank you to the United Soybean Board for making our coverage from Commodity Classic possible. You can learn more about USB and the investments that you are making in the future of the soybean industry at www.unitedsoybean.org. Dude, we've got an incredible lineup. We've got the leadership of ASA, USEC, USB. We're going to talk priorities. We're going to talk partnerships. We're going to talk market development.
I mean, we sail the seas of soy with a cast of several soy seers. That's as close as I could get. I mean, I'm not going to list them all out here because we've got some heavy hitters, and I didn't want to miss anybody. This is going to be a great show, dude.
That's exactly right. I was pretty impressed with that open there, by the way.
You like that one?
It's not that often that I have to drop just a blatant compliment your way.
Oh, well, thank you.
That was very good. Very
I did
good.
Work on it a little bit. Yeah, there were revisions and stuff along the way. It's been a journey, Chip.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet there's revisions right up to the last second on something like that, dude.
Indeed.
Yep. It's just fun to be around people that are looking to do something that will influence the future of their industry in a positive way.
Man, I love that.
And as we sit here at USB and talk about all the plans, talk about all the initiatives, talk about all of the farmer-based efforts that are underway, like I said, to have that positive influence on the future of the industry that they're all involved in. It's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic to be part of it, dude.
Well, I can't wait to hear what they've got to say today.
You bet. All right. Let's go ahead and get things started with the news. What do you got?
We'll start with the National Weather Service weather outlook. Heavy snow over parts of the Cascades, the Northern Intermountain region, Northern Rockies, Northern California, and Sierra Nevada mountains. Heavy lake effect snow southeast of Lake Ontario and over the upper Great Lakes. Rain from the Gulf Coast to parts of northern mid-Atlantic and shower and thunderstorms along the central Gulf Coast in central Gulf Coast and the southeast. And Chip, this is kind of a thing here. A sudden shift of wind direction in the Texas Panhandle this week contributed to the explosion in size of the Smokehouse Creek wildfire, which has burned at least 850,000 acres in Texas and another 31,000 acres in Oklahoma. Now the second largest fire in Texas state history, exceeding the size of the state of Rhode Island, Chip. The blaze is still just 3% contained, according to State Forest Services, Chip.
And they are trying to figure out just exactly what the death loss is on the beef cow herd. Some of the initial thoughts coming out of Sid Miller's office, Commissioner of Ag, down in Texas, and we're working to get things confirmed and trying to figure out exactly what is going on. But it's big numbers that we're talking about as far as devastation to that beef herd.
Yep. Well, in January 2024, the personal consumption expenditure price index in the U.S. rose compared to the previous month, meeting market expectations and following a downwardly revised increase in December. This increase was driven by a rise in prices for services, while prices for goods decreased. The annual rate of PCE inflation slowed to 2.4%. Chip, that's the lowest since February 2021.
Yeah, you know, we're starting to get some conflicting data now, some with some really positive economic indicators, some not so positive. It's got to be a tough balancing act for the Fed trying to figure out what to do with interest.
Well, Chip, Bitcoin is surging toward its all-time high and racking up its biggest monthly gain since December 2020. The latest bull run, which saw Bitcoin's market cap jump to a staggering $1.23 trillion over the past 24 hours, has been fueled by several factors, including the spot Bitcoin ETF boom that opened the door for mainstream investors.
Yeah, do you know why it's rallying?
Because people keep buying it?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Yeah, I don't know.
No. Lawmakers reached a short-term spending agreement. Maybe this is why Bitcoin's so excited. A short-term spending agreement to prevent a government shutdown extending funding until March 8 for six agencies, including USDA. Both chambers still need to vote on the proposal, which would be the fourth stopgap spending measure passed for fiscal year 2024. Kicking it down the road, Chip, another 7 days, apparently.
Yep. That's right. That rattling that you hear is a can rolling down the street. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, longtime top Senate Republican, announced on Wednesday he'll step down as the party's leader at the end of the year, citing differences in national security views with the party, he says, now led by former President Donald Trump. McConnell said he will serve out the rest of his Senate term through 2026.
Got it.
And finally, Russian President Vladimir Putin issued a stark warning to NATO, cautioning that any deployment of troops to aid Ukraine could escalate into nuclear conflict. Chip.
Wow. Good grief. Talk about another warning that we need to pay attention to there. Thank you, Davis. Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet.
All right, let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. How you doing, Greg?
Well, I'm doing well until I heard that last comment, but maybe we can go on.
Yeah, let's move forward from there. talk about this calf supply to me, Greg.
We've been talking about these numbers, Chip, and for the cattle industry, it just keeps spinning. You know, we've got that January 1 estimate of feeder cattle supplies, 24.2 million head. That's down 4.5% over last year. Lowest number for that since 1972. And that current feedlot inventory is a record 59.6% of those supplies. Yeah. What that's telling us is that we've got a lot of those cattle already on feed, and that another way to say that is it means there's just 1.68 feeder cattle out there for every head of animals on feed. So all of these numbers are telling us that this supply is tight, and it's only going to get tighter, right? And you know, that's good for feeder cattle producers that have something to sell.
Yeah.
That's relevant in the profit tracker we saw this week. Those feeder cattle are up 24% from last year. So the total cost of finishing a steer is $423 a head higher than it was last year, Chip. Most of that is the feeder cattle price. Conversely, it's $220 cheaper. The feed is that much cheaper than it was last year. That's because we've got $4 corn or thereabouts. In the last drought, 2013, is that when corn hit $8?
Yeah.
So, So this is a really strange setup we've got going here, but the numbers are going to get tighter and it's going to last longer than we expected.
Exactly. Still got some tightness to factor in here. Great stuff, Greg. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. That's Greg Henderson, editorial director of Drovers. We are live at USB at Commodity Classic.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold side for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trivolt, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trivolt worked. See for yourself at TriVoltInAction.com. Trivolt is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are live at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas. Glad that you could be with us today, and I'm very happy to let you know that today's show is sponsored by the United Soybean Board. Thank you so much to USB for making coverage down here at Commodity Classic possible. And there is so much going on in the world of soy. Usually on these sponsored shows, we'll have some industry spotlights throughout the way. But today it is an industry spotlight because we're going to be talking about everything soy. And I've kind of got a co-host. I've got a co-host ready to go with us, Steve Reinhardt. He is the chair of USB. Steve, welcome to AgriTalk, man. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Chip. It's great to be here and great to have you in the booth and get to go and tell our story. So
you bet. You bet. Yeah, Steve's going to be with us for the entire morning show here. We've also got Josh Gackle. He is the president of the American Soybean Association. Congratulations, Josh.
Thank you, Chip. It's good to be here and good to be with the group here from the U.S. soy family.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a partnership that we've got sitting around the table right here, isn't it? And talking about the partnership, let's round it out. Lance Rezac, he is the new chairman of the U.S. Soy Export Council. And when I say new chairman, I mean, we're like 36 hours in here.
I got to get 36 hours under my belt. Oh, yeah. I think things will be starting to change now. No.
Yeah. Watch the way it's going to be happening. Fast.
Maybe not
here.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. What made you pursue this?
I tell you, it was just kind of fate. I've always been so interested in soy and with these volunteer farmers around us here. I just kind of got started on the soy path. And along the way, I ended up going, holy cow, I think I'm going to be chairman of USAC.
Yeah.
And so opportunities, it's just unlimited opportunities with that as far as promoting our U.S. soy all around the world, all our buyers.
Okay. you're excited about it. I mean, I can see I can see that you're excited about it. Why? What is it about USEC? Because, you know, between ASA and USEC and USB, there's three very distinct separate jobs that need to be done. But if you're not coordinating, you're working against each other. And so what's got you so excited about the new role?
Well, of course, USEC, it's a combination of ASA and USB. They formed it. And so there's four farmers from each board that are on this board, along with exporters and allied industry. And so so we are the culmination of their what they want to do with exports and stuff. And so we export 60% of our soybeans in the U.S. And if you add in what we feed to animals, it's 65 or 6%. So exports are so huge. And we don't want to be the low cost leader. We're not. We were in Brazil. They're going to do the low cost mass volume leading. We have to have, you know, go highlight our sustainability, our quality. We're not deforesting things. We need to get our message out to all these other countries. And surprisingly, even in some of these poor countries that you wouldn't think would even care about sustainability, they do. The whole world is really getting interested in sustainability. So we got to get those messages out for the U.S. farmers and try to keep our exports up and promote our quality that we have.
Yeah, your job is changing.
It is changing.
Dramatically because of changes that are happening in the industry, right?
More important than ever. Because used to be, you know, U.S. was the soy leader. You know, we had them, you know. And then Brazil passed us 3 or 4 years ago, and they're adding so many acres each year, about 5 million acres a year. They get two crops off those acres. It's substantial.
Yeah.
And I seen one report they'd like to add 10 million acres a year. Yeah. So, you know, our job as getting our message out about the U.S. soy is more important than ever right now.
You know, the sustainability angle is something that's always in the back of my mind, Lance. But now that you bring it up, my goodness, it's one of those things that could be a competitive advantage, at least in some markets going forward.
It is. And like I said, it's surprisingly how many markets it is.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a soy sustainability assurance protocol. And actually, 70% of the beans shipped out of the U.S., it's a certificate that goes with them. 70% of the customers requested that certification to go with them. And so their customers can put that label on their soy products that they're selling. Cool. Or even we have fed with U.S. soy now. So if you're growing fish or poultry, you can, with sustainable, you can put that label on your fish or poultry fed with sustainable U.S. soy. Surprisingly important all around the world.
Really?
Yeah.
I think we have over 1,000 different products overseas that are actually using a U.S. sustainability mark, and some of those things get shipped back into the U.S., but then that's a way too that they can distinguish their product once they get that product fed or made with that sustainable U.S. soy.
Very cool. 1,000 products out there. Josh, what's it like to be part of a team where you've got, you know, workhorses pulling in the same direction?
That's right. Well, farmers on these boards are committed to working with each other. We visit very often, even if we're not together at Commodity Classic. You know, we're talking, we're calling each other, we're texting. It's great to work with Lance and with Steve, just excellent leaders of their organizations. You know, ASA's focus, of course, is advocacy and policy in D.C. We work on Capitol Hill, working with Congress, House and Senate, trying to move those policy issues that will profit farmers back on their farms. But the partnership with USB and USEC is what's important in driving demand around the world, like both Steve and Lance have mentioned. So it's a combination of the policy work that we do and with the with USB working on demand, funding demand and new research and new products, and then partnership with ASA and USB coming together several years ago, recognizing the need for a devoted organization to building demand around the world and the creation of USEC.
Yeah. What an exciting time for the biofuel side of your industry, Josh. Dude, this feels like 2005, 2007 for ethanol.
It kind of does. Yeah. Well, with all the new crush capacity that's coming online in the U.S. and the industry seeing the need for more renewable fuels, driving that renewable diesel demand, that's one part of it. But the huge potential in the area of aviation and sustainable aviation fuel, I think that's just we're going to see some news this week, I think, with the announcement from EPA and USDA that put some more specific numbers into what's going to qualify as feedstock and the tax credits and policy inputs that will provide a bigger market for SAF. So we're going to see that maybe tomorrow. There's going to be some news on that. And that's really exciting.
Expectation.
Provides just a huge opportunity there for U.S. farmers, and we're ready to meet that.
Yeah, and ASA has been working really, really hard to help the decision makers understand just what is it at play in this.
Absolutely, yeah. Working closely with not just with Congress, but with the regulatory agencies as well. So,
yeah,
continual communication with USDA and EPA on how the feedstock that we provide, the renewable oil that we provide, is going to be able to meet that need.
Yeah.
Another way, Chip, we can work together with ASA and USEC is once that oil, that bean gets crushed for the oil, we have the meal to export. And we did a study and tried to look at the Port of Grays Harbor and how mm-hmm. we continue to get more meal out of the Port of Grays Harbor. And they were able to help secure some funding through ASA and USEC's working on some great Asian markets to get that meal moved.
Yeah. Yeah. Doubling up capacity out there at Port of Grays.
Yeah.
It's a little ways away from you know, being able to load a boat over there, but it all takes time. And sometimes it feels like some in the marketplace are losing patience in the development of the crush capacity and the development of the exports, but it takes time. These are huge projects, Steve.
Huge projects. And it's good to have partners like ASA and USEC to work with us and get those done. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right. I got to ask, Lance, if you're new to the job, but you've got to have some thoughts about if 1 year from right now, I want what to be different at USEC?
Well, I'm not tweaking much. It does a phenomenal job along the way. We got to keep looking at diversification of markets. So China buys 60% of all the beans and bean meal that are traded in the world.
Yeah.
They take 60% of it. So almost 2/3 of it goes to China. The other 1/3 goes to the rest of the world. We got to keep developing these other markets. And we've been doing a lot of market development work all around the world. We work with Wish, which is with ASA.
More I learned about Wish, the more impressed I am. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. I was in Cambodia and they were teaching people how to do the in-pond raceways, small version, just to teach them how to feed fish so they can feed the population. There's so many people that are so poor in this world. As quick as they get some money, they want protein, you know. And so we're doing a lot of work in a lot of these countries. You got to look at what the next one's going to be. We got these soy excellence centers now, and now we have a couple in countries that don't even buy any beans or meal, Nigeria and India. But India, largest population on earth. Most of them are still vegetarian, but as they get money, they're going to want some meat. And so years ago, they exported soybean meal. They had a little window where they actually imported some.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not over in India telling the government anything, but we're working with poultry producers trying to get solutions to their feed and have availability. And so, and then Nigeria, they think, will be the 3rd largest country.
Oh, the African market.
Africa is going to be huge.
The potential there is unbelievable.
And so we got to keep working all these. So hopefully my kids will have a good market for their soy.
Exactly. Someday. 15 seconds. Honestly, Josh, 15 seconds.
Okay.
Farm bill. Can we get one in 2024?
I think we can. I think it gets a little more complicated the later we get in the year. So just urging the chairs of the House and Senate committees to move something quickly here early in the year.
Yeah, complicated at the end of the year. I think that's a safe assumption that things are going to get more complicated. You guys, it's a great team. Thank you so much for being part of the show today. Josh Gackle, ASA, Lance Rezac, USEC, and Steve Reinhardt's going to stick around here at USB.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 163-1119.
Time for markets. Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins from Commodity Classic. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk down 27 to 16.97, April down 33 to 17.16, May down 29 to 17.48, June down 12 at 17.93. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower on profit-taking correction after recent gains in the markets. Lower cash markets to steady cash markets also pressuring prices. Hogs, though, continue to move mostly higher on some technical buying, also some strength in the cash hog market. February live cattle down 65 cents to 184. March feeder cattle down 70 cents to 248.90. April hogs up 40 cents to 86.40. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets have turned mixed after starting the day mostly lower on the day. Some positive export inspection news helping to support some of the contracts. Soybeans, they'll continue to move mostly lower. First notice day today, and that is helping to provide some pressure. South American weather should allow for Brazil's harvest to also keep moving, and that's pressuring prices. Wheat markets, meanwhile, mostly mixed now, still higher a bit in the nearby contracts, the dollar off of some of its recent highs. Now, new crop corn down 1 3/4 to 461.5. New crop beans down 2 1/4 to 1132 3/4. Chicago wheat march up 4.5 to 575.5. From Commodity Classic, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, and we are live at the Commodity Classic down in Houston, Texas. Thank you so much to USB for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from Commodity Classic. Don't forget, check it out at www.unitedsoy.org. All right, let's continue the conversation. Steve Reinhardt, the USB chair, is sticking with us as co-host here this morning. And let's bring in Lucas into the conversation. Lucas Lynch is the CEO of USB. Lucas, it's good to see you. How are you?
Chip, I'm doing well. It's great good. To be with you.
Yeah, today. It's great to talk with you again. It was shortly after you took the role that I think we last had a conversation.
Literally 12 weeks ago today, the board made the confirmation vote. And yeah, so it's been a busy 12 weeks, that's for sure.
Well, it's been a busy 12 weeks, but let's do a little bit more of getting to know you, okay? Because it was a busy career leading up to this move over too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about your background.
You know, just real blessed. Grew up on a family farm in South Dakota, studied agriculture at South Dakota State. Probably the most significant leadership moments in my life have been serving our military as a captain, as a commanding officer in Iraq for a period of time. And then about 15 years ago, got into state leadership, learning Department of Agriculture, ultimately served as Secretary of Ag in South Dakota. And 8 years ago, got involved in checkoff on the dairy side, CEO at Midwest Dairy, and then served on the National Dairy Promotion as an executive vice president on the leadership team there. So it's been a sprint.
it has been. Yeah. It certainly has. And you know, after the first conversation that we had, then of course you get more interested and you do a little bit more looking. And the fit, your fit into USB, I think, is about as hand in glove as it can get, Lucas. The position seems made for you.
Well, I would just say, first and foremost, while it's a position that I get to hold, it's the farmer's office.
Yeah.
So being in the office of the CEO is really the farmer's voice in the marketplace on their behalf.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of a fit, Chip, I trust farmers, and working for them is a fantastic place to be.
Yeah.
You know, I have a pretty simple mantra. I want to make sure that farmers are making plays and frankly not getting played. And I think I can do that as CEO of United Soybean Board.
I love that. I love that. The not getting played. You got to be part of the conversation, don't you, Steve?
Got to be part of the conversation. And we're really happy with what we have in Lucas right now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, we really want somebody to come in and work with the farmers and visit with the farmers. And that's what Lucas has done firsthand through the first board meeting. You know, everybody's been really happy and satisfied. He's worked with QSSBs. He's getting out to meet with our industry partners. And it's just, you know, we're really happy and really glad we're able to hit the ground running and yeah. Just really excited about how much, you know, more we can elevate USB and what we can do.
Right, right. And to me, Lucas, it's your understanding about what it takes to get a job done. And that is, if USB was out on its own trying to get these huge projects done to support the U.S. soy industry,
yep.
It'd be almost impossible to get it done single-handedly.
Well,
it's those partnerships.
Yeah, it's absolutely the power of the collective.
Yeah.
You know, Steve mentioned the QSSBs, and for your listeners, that's really the qualified state soybean boards. That's the foundation of checkoff. Every farmer belongs to a local zip code first. That's the bedrock of promotion and research. And United Soybean Board really comes in on a national level to help the international and domestic efforts. And so partnership is critical. But yeah, we have to punch above our weight each and every day.
Right, right. When it comes to checkoff dollars, the one thing that farmers want to know is, am I getting a return for the investment that I'm putting into it? Yeah. If they're getting a return, they're willing to make that investment. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, you know, the expectation of putting dollars in and getting tens and twenties back
is nice.
That better be the expectation. Yep. And that better be how we deliver. Because it is about filling the pipeline of innovation, not just for supply, but also for demand. We have to be out there thinking about the needs of tomorrow. I like to look at it as a three-legged stool, and we're blessed in the soy space. It's not just about a soybean. We get to talk about animal agriculture. We get to talk about energy independence and renewable diesel. And then you throw in the middle of all that, the 1,000+ innovations. You know, pretty much a petroleum-based product today is a soy opportunity tomorrow.
Yeah. You threw the livestock into it. The U.S. Meat Export Federation, another partner that we should probably mention here, because with every pound of beef, with every pound of pork, with every pound of poultry goes a little bit of soybean meal. That's important to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the majority of our soybean meal all goes to the animal agriculture sector. And we work with USAPEC, which is the Poultry and Egg Council, and USMEF, which you just mentioned. And I just came back from Colombia on a mission, and the whole time we were there, we were eating U.S. beef and U.S. pork. So it's, you know, a great way to export soybeans, you know, through that meat. So,
yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. How is the focus of USB right now, Lucas? Is it where you think it needs to be?
You know, coming in from the outside, it's always nice to be a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah.
I have been blown away and quite impressed by the 77 volunteer board members, the farmer leaders from across the country. They put together a strategic plan 3 years ago. And frankly, Chip, they nailed it. It is something that's flexible. It's relevant for the here and now. You know, think about the infrastructure and connectivity. You know, we can raise a crop. We can be proud of that crop, but can we get it to market? Can we get it to market efficiently? And the research dollars, when you're putting dollars on the table, getting tens and twenties back, the research on the Mississippi, locks and dams, the ability to get the product up the river and out, you know, and all of that is a huge part of what the investment of checkoff has been up to. So staying relevant, staying nimble. There's been three words that I've heard, and that is transparency, efficiency, and accountability. Farmers demand it, and they should expect every bit of that.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. Okay. Last segment, the conversation that we were having, sustainability came up. Sustainability is it's not the eye roll that it used to get from farmers. I mean, it used to be just kind of like, oh, seriously, are we going to talk about it? Now the message there, I think more farmers are more open to the message, and it's becoming part of U.S. soy story compared to our competitors, isn't it?
Yeah, it's becoming a bigger deal. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, were panicked when we started talking about sustainability. And then they look back and some of the things they're doing, you know, we're reducing soil erosion. We're using cover crops and increasing our water retention capacity. And so all those things that we do on our farms at home are really what the public is asking for. And,
yeah.
And we've really been kind of at the forefront of that. And we continue to do it with technology by, you know, variable rating the fertilizer we're using and making sure it's getting to where it needs to be and not over applying in other areas. And that's just another way that we can continue to write that story.
You know, and it's telling a story that was, it's not like the what was happening on the farm has changed all that much. It's just telling the story about what is being done, right?
Well, that's what they always said, right? We can tell our story or somebody else is going to tell it for us. That's
exactly.
And the beautiful part of it is the fact that the farmer has been there all along and finally the conversation's caught up to what's been happening over generations on the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucas, talk to me about investments.
You know, the investments, if you think about the 2024 and beyond, you got to look to the energy space. Yeah. You know, it's hard not to talk about sustainable aviation fuel and then start connecting the dots to what's next. Is it marine fuel? Is it on the rail systems? You know, the engines that run these tracks, you know, think about how road, rail, river, marine aviation, all of that's on the table for innovation in my book. I love that energy independence, but it's also the fact that it's the chemistry. You know, what's the chemistry of what we create? The 1,000+ consumer products that are out there. What's the innovation of tomorrow that's going to have exponential scale that brings value back? Because it's not just about volume, it's also value for the farmer and making sure the innovations ultimately answer both questions.
Yeah. Yeah, when we get into the energy side of things, which is, that's where the investment's got to be. Sometimes it makes for some different partnerships than what we're used to in agriculture, because the American Petroleum Institute, for an example, is behind ASF, SAF, yep. Excuse me. So some different partnerships that we've got to be open to going forward.
Yeah. You know, what got us here won't get us there. And that ability to just think differently. Love the idea, the ideation that farmers bring to the table. You know, they do it every day. They're the best innovators in the world. And why wouldn't it be any different in the boardroom with the United Soybean Board? Farmers show up from across the country. They innovate and they bring practical ideas front and center. And to me, that's the farmer voice each and every day. And I trust it.
Yeah. There's an investment in the future of soybeans that are happening from the energy side of things that I think should be exciting to every soybean farmer out there, right?
I would sure think so. Steve, what do you think?
Oh, I think there's all kinds of things. I think one of the things that we're going to see here in a couple of weeks is our soybean foam, firefighting foam, is made out of soybean meal. And we've all heard the stories about the forever chemicals that are in the current foam that's used, and it's really a hazard. So this is a great way for us to use soybean meal. And another great way for us to look at sustainability and how we're helping that sustainability, you know, message with a new product that, again, is going to use that renewable.
Yeah. Truly bringing soy solutions to every day in every way. It's pretty fantastic.
Yep. Lucas, it sounds like you're enjoying the role.
Oh, you know, to work for farmers is a dream come true. And to be a leader in an organization like this, the value that the farmers espouse, they just don't talk about them. They live them each and every day.
Yeah.
It's great to be an American and working for an American farmer.
Very cool. That's Lucas Lynch, the CEO of the United Soybean Board. Steve is going to stick around for this final conversation here. Thanks so much to USB for sponsoring AgriTalk at Commodity Classic.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors, and more. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
Pluto TV is as easy as it is free, and it's totally free. With over 300 channels and thousands of TV shows and movies, finding what you love has never been easier. Just download the app. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah! Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at straighttalk.com. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
That's all. The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to Commodity Classic and AgriTalk. Thanks to USB, United Soybean Board, for making our coverage possible from Commodity Classic. And Steve Reinhardt, USB chair, has been kind of a co-host along with me here throughout this morning's show. But I've got him to my all to myself here in this final segment. Steve, a couple of things. Tell me about your operation. Tell me about how you came to be interested in leadership at USB.
Sure. So we farm soybeans, corn, malting barley, a little bit of hay, north central Ohio, so about an hour north of Columbus, an hour south of the lake, Erie. And so have always been involved in agriculture, you know, growing up in FFA. I taught ag classes for 10 years. When I served in the Ohio House, I mean, we drove the ethanol issue home and tried to get got those plants, you know, up and running. And so it just always been involved in ag. And when a spot came up, they asked me to apply for the Ohio Soybean Council. And that's just been a great process going, you know, through that evolution. And we've got some the arable research lab now with the Ohio Soybean Council. We're able to take soybean oil projects and look at the first concept of, you know, whether or not this idea is going to work. And if it does, we continue the exploration. And if it doesn't, we're done and we move on and learn from it. Then, you know, gone to USB, just the all the different aspects of everything we're involved in, you know, 77 farmer volunteer farmer leaders, and served as a demand committee chair, work group lead, treasurer, vice chair. And then this year I have the privilege of being the chairman of the United Soybean Board.
To stay on the path, there's got to be rewards along the way. Okay. And I'm not talking about financial rewards. That only gets you so far. It's the sense of accomplishment in that keeps you coming back and doing things, right?
Yeah. It's been a great thing. I mean, like I said, we're 77 voluntary board members, and to be able to go in and look at the projects that we can invest in, and then see those projects come to fruition and return those dollars back. You know, the only thing we have to do by USDA is an ROI study. And our last ROI study showed, you know, for every dollar we're investing, we're bringing $12.34 back to the farmer. So that's a composite score. We know some things are higher, some things are lower, but we look at export markets, $17.95 for those exports that when we develop those new markets. We talked earlier today about sub-Saharan Africa and those developing nations. And then we look at all the new uses we have, $18.18 that returns back to the soybean farmers. So we talked about the firefighting foam. We talk about the biofuel use and increasing that use. In the last 2 years, we've increased it by 36%. The infrastructure things we're doing by being able to dredge helping to do the study to dredge the lower Mississippi, where we talked about the
PNW project down there.
You know, all that stuff is adding value back to the U.S. soybean farmers.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and when I think about USB, the first thing that I think about is the export market. That's just where my mind goes. But you've got to stay focused on the domestic market as well.
Yep. We know that animal agriculture is our best customers and our biggest customers when it comes to meal. And we want to encourage, we know we have a great amino acid content, and we know that we've done studies when you feed poultry and pork with soybean meal. It creates more energy for the animal. The animals are healthier, especially at a younger age. And that's another issue that we want to continue to push and see if we can continue to develop those industries around the country. And we know that the world wants to eat more, animal protein. And that's just as our economies continue to grow. We are in Colombia, the third largest importer of U.S. soybean meal for their livestock industry. But the whole time we were there, we were with USMEF, the United States Meat and Export Federation, and we're eating American pork and beef while we're there.
Yeah, it's very cool. Hey, so when I think about the future of this of the soy industry here in the U.S. There's some really smart people that have been on AgriTalk over the past couple of years that have said that what is coming to the soy industry and through SAF and through renewable diesel is going to be the most disruptive event in the soybean market's history, potentially. That's exciting and scary all at the same time, Steve.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're talking about a transition here. I mean, meal's always been the driver of soybean crush, and now we're seeing oil come into being just as much a driver, if not more, than meal. And the nice thing is when we use that soybean oil for an industrial use, a human use, whether it be frying, cooking oil, which is really what a lot of it's still used for.
Yeah.
You know, it's just we have a great quality, high quality meal there. And that's what we continue to look at and how we can drive those uses for that product and just, you know, keep that animal ag, especially the animal ag industry, moving.
Yeah, that's one thing that we need consumers to keep in mind is when it comes to soybean oil and the food versus fuel, we can use it for food first.
Oh yeah, we can use it for food first, and that's where our you know, priorities are. And
yeah,
but you know, now we can talk about food and fuel and even fiber and so on down the line. So it's not just
it's an exciting concept for us going forward, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I think this is a great time to be in the soybean industry. I mean, we've been able to ramp up production and we have a little bit of a glitch in some pricing right now, but I think that'll straighten out here over time. You know, it's just a great opportunity. We look at our board meeting last week. We have infrastructure, connectivity, health and nutrition, innovation, and technology. I mean, just all the projects that are coming down the line are really, I think, exciting, and it's going to be good for the U.S. soybean farmer.
Yep. That's one thing about a commodity market. When you run short of supply, everybody knows it and everybody knows it now. When it comes to building demand, it's a realization market. And like you said, the pricing on soybean oil in particular, that'll get straightened out. It just might take a little time. This was a wonderful conversation, Steve. Thank you so much.
Been great to have you here, and glad we could invite our friends in, our partners, and you know, work on providing that soy solution to every life, every day.
You bet. We're going to be right back here at USB tomorrow morning as well from Commodity Classic. So I'm looking forward to that. Come back this afternoon. We are going to be at Meristem talking markets with Brian Doherty and Rich Nell.
That's right.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So outside, I wanna be. But so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple